It is interesting to contemplate an entangled bank, clothed with many plants of many kinds, with birds singing in the bushes, with various insects flitting about, and with worms crawling through the damp earth, and to reflect that these elaborately constructed forms, so different from each other, and dependent on each other in so complex a manner, have all been produced by laws acting around us. These laws, taken in the largest sense, being growth with reproduction, inheritance, which is almost implied by reproduction, variability from the indirect and direct action of the external conditions of life, and from use and disuse. A ratio of increase so high as to lead to a struggle for life, and as a consequence to natural selection, entailing divergence of character and the extinction of less improved forms. Thus, from the war of nature, from famine and death, the most exalted object which we are capable of conceiving, namely, the production of the higher animals, directly follows. There is grandeur in this view of life, with its several powers having been originally breathed into a few forms or into one, and that, whilst this planet has gone cycling on according to the fixed law of gravity, from so simple a beginning, endless forms, most beautiful and most wonderful, have been, and are being, evolved. Welcome to Naturally Speaking, Darwin Day.
Naturally Speaking.
I'm Laura Allen.
Claire Harris.
Hans Recknagel.
Julie Natty.
I'm Anna Jacobs.
A PhD.
PhD
student.
And this is what Darwin means to me.
Hello and welcome to Naturally Speaking, the podcast of the Institute of Biodiversity, Animal Health and Comparative Medicine. I'm James Bergen. In science, we try our best not to hero worship, but in a field where credit is currency and careers are built upon reputation, sometimes scientific rock stars emerge. The ideas and impact of these few resonate outside academia and make them household names. For example, physics has Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein, and chemistry, Marie Curie and Louis Pasteur. While many biologists can claim the same level of recognition, by far our most celebrated standard bearer is Charles Robert Darwin. How much do biologists love Darwin? Well, the Institute has a framed picture of him hanging over our largest lecture theatre. And today, the 12th of February, is Darwin Day. You must have some love coming your way if you have a whole day dedicated to you. And some places extend this to a whole week. Darwin was a British naturalist and geologist, who played a leading role in the early formation of evolutionary theory in the 1800s. While concepts of evolution and speciation predate Darwin, he established common descent, essentially saying that all life descended from a shared, common ancestor. Darwin was also one of the first to recognise a pattern he would come to call natural selection. In an age where nature was viewed through harmony-tinted glasses, Darwin realised that life is war, and competition was survival. The organisms best suited for their habitat were the ones to survive and reproduce, shaping future generations in their own likeness. We now know this is primarily through genetic inheritance, something Darwin never lived to hear about. While Darwin co-authored his first ideas on natural selection with Alfred Russel Wallace, Darwin did something Wallace didn't. He took evolution from a hypothesis to a full-blown scientific theory. From early adventuring in the Neotropics, years spent studying the minutiae of barnacle biology and experimenting in his garden, to a fascination with the selective breeding of domestic animals, particularly fancy pigeons, Darwin spent a lifetime observing and recording the varieties of life, culminating in his magnum opus, On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favoured Races in the Struggle for Life. This was a paradigm-shifting publication, which revolutionised biology and heralded the replacement of creationism with evolution in mainstream science. Today you will hear much about Darwin, his life, his work, and his legacy. We are even bringing you a full, unabridged recording of our annual Darwin lecture, this year delivered by internationally renowned evolutionary biologist and Darwin expert David Resnick, a professor at the University of California, Riverside. Prepare to be engrossed in Darwinian delights. While Glasgow can't claim Darwin as a student, like Edinburgh or Cambridge, he did visit our fair city twice. Once was several years after his famous South American voyage on the HMS Beagle. During this time, Darwin made his Scotch expedition, a three-week geological field trip between Liverpool and Glasgow in 1838. Of his trip, he remarked, "Here I enjoyed 5 days of most beautiful weather, with gorgeous sunsets and all nature looking as happy as I felt." Glasgow's weather has clearly changed a lot since those sunny days. His second visit was for a British association, now known as the British Science Association, meeting in 1855. Darwin's works have touched upon all fields of biology, So perhaps his legacy is strongest felt in the hearts, minds, and research of our students. As our Darwin Day guest, Professor Resnick, was elected and invited by our current PhD students, we thought we should find out what Darwin means to some of them.
I'm Laura Allen. I work on tropical ecology. Specifically, I'm looking at patterns of biodiversity across a human-modified landscape. So this includes looking at different invertebrate groups, such as orchid bees and dung beetles, that are directly related with ecosystem functions, as well as looking at the use of acoustics for biodiversity assessment and exploring different ways of quantifying biodiversity. So as a tropical biologist, I suppose that Darwin's adventures around South America and explorers like Darwin certainly influenced my decisions to go into this field. I also really like how he was such a generalist. He had an interest in everything from plants to fossils, earthworms and soil. So I'd really like to be the sort of biologist that follows in his generalist footsteps.
I'm Anna Jacobs and I work on Arctic char and European whitefish, two salmonid species in the Northern Hemisphere. And I'm mostly interested in how did they evolve into different forms. So why do they look different in the same lake? Why do they eat different things? And to answer this question, I'm using genetic techniques to look at the DNA and try to answer all underlying questions regarding their morphology, ecology, and behavior. I'm also the convener of the Evolutionary Analysis Group in our institute, which is basically a gathering of scientists to discuss evolution, answer questions we have as researchers, but also just long-standing evolutionary questions and ongoing work. I think Darwin, for me, it's not about the person, it's more about his attitude of how he basically shows how important it is to observe everything, to collaborate with lots of people, gather information, and his curiosity and endurance led to the formation of the evolutionary theory. But regarding my work and the things we discussed in the evolutionary analysis group, it also shows how far we got in with the theory of evolution, and how this theory actually evolved on its own and became something completely new and amazing. But this theory is not finished and it's still evolving and will probably evolve for a long time.
I'm Claire and I work on ways to measure and model biodiversity. And my claim to fame with Darwin is that we were both born in the same town, Shrewsbury in Shropshire. I used to walk past his statue that was outside of the library every time I went there. So he'll always kind of represent books and learning. And I think he represents for me having courage in your convictions and not being afraid to kind of challenge the ideas of the day. I don't work on evolution directly, but I can kind of recognise that my field would never be the same if he hadn't had the bravery to publish on something that was so controversial at the time.
I'm Hans Recknagel, and Darwin has sparked my interest in evolution in general and in speciation more particularly. I study how complex traits such as wings and eyes evolve. My research focuses on the evolution of life-bearing and egg-laying, and I try to understand which changes in the genome are necessary for such a radical transition in life history. I'm also interested in the timescale on which such major traits evolve. Darwin and the modern synthesis have taught us a lot about how species evolve at short timescales, such as the evolution of different phenotypes in pigeons and dog breeds using artificial selection. But it is still a mystery how big jumps in evolution take place, so I'm trying to understand the circumstances and processes that make those jumps possible.
I'm Julie, and I'm working on fish physiology and behavior. More precise, I'm interested in invasive and native freshwater fish species to actually understand on a physiologic basis why the invasive species actually outcompete the native ones. In my eyes, Darwin was a very ambitious person. I mean, Darwin is first of all a naturalist who was interested in nature and who was so ambitious and hungry for knowing more about nature, about species. And he took every opportunity which came into his way. I totally relate to this hunger for more knowledge, hunger to learn more, to want to understand everything, every process. So that's why I admire Darwin.
Of course, there was one question I had to ask them. Have they actually read On the Origin of Species?
No, but it's on my desk.
No.
I've read about half of it.
Will you have caught that?
Yeah.
yes.
I did read most of it, actually.
No, I haven't, but I should.
It's on my to-do list.
It's not easy to read.
Nowhere near finishing it.
I need to read it.
While funny, this isn't surprising. I haven't read it either. While revolutionary in its day, biology has moved on substantially, and the origin is now really only of historical interest. Darwin famously kept up to date with all of the developments in the life sciences, an impossible task today, but I think he would delight in the way that his ideas have been built upon. From so simple a beginning, endless fields most beautiful and most wonderful have been, and are being, established. After all, Darwin is not the only one to see grandeur in this view of life. Thanks for listening, and make sure to listen to our annual Darwin Day presentation, this year spectacularly delivered by Professor David Resnick. I'm James Bergen, tune in next time.
Thanks for listening to the Naturally Speaking podcast. If you've got any ideas for future shows or want to get involved, then please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is naturallyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com. Naturally Speaking is a podcast from the Institute of Biodiversity, Animal Health and Comparative Medicine at the University of Glasgow. For more information, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter @TheNSPodcast. And you can download future episodes and find more information at our blog at naturallyspeakingpodcast.wordpress.com.